Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood! Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode of OK Sis : The Sleepover.
: Our virtual event. Hey sisters, I'm Scout, and that person that just introduced you to the episode is my younger sister Mads. And we are so excited because a few weeks ago we had a virtual event with guests like Natalie Maraduena, Meadow from Mad Happy, and Brittany Xavier. And since we had the most amazing Saturday, we were with everyone for over 3 hours. We thought it would be fun to splice up some of the highlights from each of our guest speakers to give you a taste of what our virtual event was like. Also, in between all of the guest interviews, we had 3 big giveaways from the raddest brands like Crown Affair, Dead Cool, Bala, Dirty Lemon, Woo More Play, Intelligent Change, The Skin Spot by Dr. Sheila Nazarian, The Colonistas, Alexa Lee Jewelry, Renewed, Lunia, and Book of the Month. To say they were epic is an understatement.
Let's do it.
Okay, sisters, happy Saturday. Happy Saturday. Thank you for joining.
Now you're going to hear from Natalie Maraduena, aka David Dobrik's assistant, and we talk to her all about running a successful YouTube channel, all the different projects that her and David have worked on, and basically uprooting her entire life from suburban Chicago, moving to Los Angeles, and being in the spotlight.
Yeah, so we had a wonderful time chatting with her. It was so much fun. Sisters got to ask her questions at the end. So we hope you enjoy this little taste of our chat with Natalie.
Okay, now it's time.
Okay, hold on. We gotta find it.
All right. Hi,
Natalie.
Yeah, your hair looks like mermaid vibes.
Yeah. I'm like, what is in my hair? I don't have no idea.
It is gorgeous. It is voluptuous. We love it. Okay, so yes, every single person that's logged in knows who you are. But for the sake of formalities, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Natalie. I work with this group of people called the Vlog Squad on the internet, and we're just a group of friends. We have a lot of fun, a lot of goof around, make YouTube videos, TikToks, the whole thing. So yeah.
Love it. Our first question that we want to ask you that I think a lot of people have been wondering, if you weren't David Dobrik's assistant, what would you do with your life and career?
You know, it's funny because my degree in college was psychology and environmental science.
Oh, wow.
So, like, nothing to do with really what I'm doing right now. But I always wanted to be in the entertainment industry. I just had no idea how to get in. Like, my dream job was to be a luxury brand manager for, like, a Gucci or a Louis or a Prada or something like that. So maybe I'd be there. I don't know.
That makes sense. That makes sense for you. And when was it like apparent to you that being a part of the Vlog Squad, assisting David, all this stuff was something that could be like a full-time job?
So when David first asked me to move out and actually like work for him, I was like, well, he asked me to drop out of college and I said, no, I can't do that. But I was really confused. I was like, how do you make enough money making a YouTube video that you can pay my whole salary? It doesn't make any sense to me at the time. And little did I know that he makes a shit ton of money. And literally the first week that I moved out here was actually beginning of January in like 2018.
Okay.
And he was filming a Super Bowl brand deal thing with J-Lo. And so it was like my third day on the job and I got to meet very casual. And I got to meet J-Lo and I was like, whoa, like my whole mind was just like blown. But yeah.
Oh my God. So that was probably like was this during the Vine days or was this after his Vine days and he was like getting into YouTube?
that was like YouTube days. Like he was getting like maybe like 1 to 2 million views on a video.
Oh my God.
You know, that's what I, you know, that's what we do in our sleep.
Just like a normal goal for us, just like a casual 1 to 2 mil.
So talk to us about what the day-to-day of your job entails.
And I'm sure it's
like walk us through a day of your work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, usually I have like the mornings to myself because nobody else wakes up and I'm like a morning person. So I usually like get up at like 8, I go work out with my friend Jacqueline, and then I come home and it's like, I mean, when I wake up, the moment I wake up, I already have like 50 texts and like 100 emails that I need to like get into, but I'm like, okay, I got to take my hour to myself and do my thing. And then I get into like the emails and I'll wake David up and like, maybe we have to film a TikTok. Like we just posted one for Doritos today for Super Bowl stuff. And like we filmed that and it's just it's a whole process of stuff.
Yeah. So you basically like make sure he's doing his shit. Like, you know, like what the social calendar is and like you are kind of like making sure he's delivering basically.
Yeah, 100%. Like I'm on the emails with all the brands, like figuring out, negotiating, doing all that stuff. And then I'm right next to him, like actually making the content or being in the content, whatever it is.
Oh yeah. You're in the content.
So 2018, that's 3 years ago. So like that rise to obviously your personal platform and millions of eyes on you. What was that emotionally like for you? Like, was it shocking? Like, do you still not comprehend it? Did you have to, you know, adjust a little bit?
So the first year that I lived or moved here, I was never in any of the content. So like, I was strictly behind the scenes, getting lunch, doing the emails, that's it. And then I think slowly people were like, who the heck is that girl in the background? And so that's why he was like, okay, let's see how this goes. Like, what people think of Natalie. And I think one of the first bits was like, he was going through my console, my car, and it was all my parking tickets from Chicago. Cause I like just double park all the time. but that was like one of the first times, but it's honestly, I'm sure you guys get it too. It's like the coolest thing in the world to like have people like follow along and know you, like the ins and outs of you and like want to be a part of your life. It's really cool.
It's really wild. But like, I also want to talk about, you know, you and David Dobrik were best friends in high school. So how have you guys kind of balanced a working relationship, but then also like a friendship, but then kind of like bicker like brother and sister. So it's like, how do you find that line? I mean, we're sisters, so we understand what it's like to work with like family. I feel like David is your family. So it's
like a family.
Yeah, like how do you balance that? Because it just seems like you guys are always having fun.
It's well, I'm glad it looks that way. No, we are really always having fun. I think, I mean, don't get me wrong, like David and I get into it sometimes. There's definitely like every couple of months we'll have like a big blow up where we'll be like, no, you did that and you did this, and like, you know, we'll like actually argue. But those moments are honestly like what makes our friendship and our working relationship stronger, because like at the end of the day, we're honest with each other and we trust each other, and that like goes a million miles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, you by byproduct of working with David have also developed like your own messaging on the internet. And I know that body positivity is super important to you. And especially, you know, are you like considered Gen Z or are you millennial?
I think I'm millennial.
I think you're like the end.
Yeah.
How does that translate for you publicly? And what is the kind of impetus for spreading this kind of message?
Well, I think now more than ever, it's like more acceptable to just love your body, own your body, and just be whoever, whatever. But I've always embraced the fact that like, I feel like I'm just an everyday average girl, and like, I'm not trying to be more than that. I'm not trying to be less. I think I'm pretty cool and like do some really fun stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think, you know, it's just literally about owning like yourself.
Yeah.
And like, I'm cool with myself. I like myself. And the more that you embrace that, the more confidence you exude and the more people, other people are going to recognize that.
I think that's so rare also in like the age of social media. I think especially at the level of eyeballs at your eye, you would think that like insecurity would like sweep in, but it's, and I'm sure you experience insecurities like all of us, but there is this like more macro sense of, oh, I like myself. I am, this is who I am. And I think that's what people relate to you most about is that you do feel like this like normal girl from Chicago that just like, like that's kind of, cause I think the biggest thing about watching the vlogs is that you feel like you're part of that friend group, right?
One of my favorite parts of the sleepover was when we had Meadow, who's from The Local Optimist, which is Mad Happy's mental health publication, come and talk to us about CBT, which you guys are going to hear her break down CBT in this next clip. But one of my favorite parts, I think, of the entire sleepover was when, after Meadow's presentation, we all did a little bit of journaling and workshop around things that were challenging us in the moment. And then we all very vulnerably talked about some of the things we were going through. And it was in that moment that I kind of realized the container in space that Mads and I have created with OK Sis, and that the women in the sisterhood are willing to be vulnerable and step up with their mental health. And this workshop just totally blew me away.
Yeah, you are going to hear all about the vulnerability and the breakdown of this really great mental health, not only theory, but exercise and the tools that you can use and exhibit when you are going through something really challenging moving forward. And also we listened to Driver's License and it was just like putting us in our feels.
Yeah, so here in this episode, you're going to just hear a very brief kind of clip of Meadow talking about what CBT is. And if Meadow's listening, we kind of want to get her on the pod for a full episode. So look out for that soon.
What's so cool about CBT is it's one of the most like widely studied and researched therapeutic styles. It works for every different type of mental health issue imaginable, and it's super self-sufficient. So that's why I like it. Like I'm the biggest supporter of like going to therapy, taking medication, getting professional help if you need it. But I also think you guys know this too. Like it's so self-empowering to be able to like find your own tools and do the work yourself. And so the reason why I like talking about this is because I think even if you have like a very basic understanding of what CBT is, even just having that little bit of knowledge makes the biggest difference in how you go about your day. And like all these small little decisions that can add up over time. So that's why we like this stuff. It's all those like tangible action items, baby. It's all those like really getting into things that we can put in our control.
Love it. Okay.
Okay. So CBT specifically, how does it work? It focuses on cognitive distortions, which means like your patterns of thinking, maybe negative thinking behaviors or patterns, and changing your behaviors that don't serve you. Mm. So kind of this model, what this looks like is, say there's any given situation or a trigger, you could say. Mm. When you're experiencing triggers or like a hardship or something you're going through, you experience it in four different ways. You start thinking about it. You'll have body sensations. So like kind of the physical symptoms sometimes can come up. Emotions come up, and then your behaviors. So there's these four different areas that we're all experiencing whatever your set challenge or hardship is. Mm-hmm. What CBT does is have you take notice of all these different things and then hone in just on your thoughts and behaviors, cognitive behavioral therapy, thoughts and behaviors, because those are the two things we have control over. So like, say for example, when I get anxiety, my anxiety is really, really physical. So I'll get like tension in my chest or stomach aches. And you can't really look at your stomach and be like, could you stop? Like, I don't want this anxiety. Like, go. I can't look down and be like, stop, go away. Yeah. But what I can do is kind of like change my thought patterns or take a second to step back and breathe or write things out. So it's really getting to know how you kind of respond to situations and then honing in on what can make the difference and where you can make that change, which is the thoughts and behaviors.
Next up, you will hear from the beautiful, the OG fashion influencer, blogger, mom extraordinaire, Brittany Xavier.
This one was a huge one for me because I've been following Brittany for so long, and mazel tov, she just announced that she's pregnant. So getting to get 30 minutes just with the three of us and all of the sisters listening and watching who got to ask her questions was a real treat. So enjoy this one, sisters.
Turn it up.
Is my boobs okay?
This is the point when I need everybody to get to the dance floor. It's like that, y'all. That, y'all. That, y'all. That, y'all. That, y'all.
I'm feeling all the good vibes right now.
We are just, you know what, on hour 2.5 over live event, we got this, and we are so excited to have you join us.
Amazing. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Okay, so I have a story, Brittany. Maddie shamed me into thinking that gold jewelry was the only jewelry one can wear. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a video of you wearing silver hoops. So then I bought silver hoops.
I'm actually feeling thrown off because I'm wearing gold today because I can't find my silver hoops. So I need to clean my room and figure out where they are.
We're all hoop matching hoop queens. Yeah. We love it. Okay, Brittany Xavier. Oh my God. Fashion influencer, queen of the gods to the TikTok. Like the list goes on. For those in the chat that don't know you, which like they do, weird if you don't, introduce yourself. Talk to us about who you are.
So my name is Brittany Xavier. I started my blog in December 2013. And from then I grew my Instagram account, kind of started as a hobby. I was working full time and it turned into what it is today, where I work with my husband, we have a team, and we're really focused on creating more video content. I don't blog anymore. I shifted away from that, just really going to where the industry is headed. So that's video.
Absolutely. So I've been following you for a very, very long time, both Scout and I have. I think you have been probably one of the OG like fashion influencers. Like when did Instagram really pivot for you? Because you just mentioned that you like started with
TikTok.
Yeah, like because you mentioned you had a blog, like you were always into the blogger space, but then Instagram really took that to the next level for you.
Yeah, I would say it was probably between 2015 and 2017. I really had the algorithm down then because it was chronological. And I would post 3 times a day. So I was very scheduled as to what I was doing. And it almost got to the point where it was a little boring because it was so, I already knew exactly what to expect from it. And I knew if I posted a ripped jean photo, that would go into Explore. It was like, I had it all down. There was nothing challenging me or exciting about it at that point, but I was growing. Mm-hmm. So after, I think it was 2017 is where I shifted from feeling like, you know, I don't need to grow my account. I want to grow, but I don't need to be in growth mode. I want to be more in branding mode. So I switched to doing a little bit more editorial, really just getting away from that California girl vibe. I kind of just wanted something new and just to reinvent and be more creative and not feel like I had to take photos only on iPhone and I could use a camera. So we really just had fun with it and wasn't so numbers focused after that.
Yeah.
I think that really helped.
You have your fashion sensibility is you are a California girl, but you do have that like East Coast upscale
like
vibe.
Luxury.
Yeah. But you have like an East Coast vibe too.
I mean, LA sometimes struggles in the fashion department here.
We're always like, I mean, it's funny because we get this like bad rap for being like boho and like always on the or whatever. It's like, no, we have Brittany Xavier here. So like, like elevated fashion. Okay. So let's talk about like the reason that, I wanted you to be here.
Which I want to say that your TikTok career obviously has flourished incredibly. Yep. But I actually, since I've been following you for years, was all of a sudden looking on Instagram. I was like, oh, she's like a big TikToker now. Yep. Like I didn't even realize it until much later. But you ask your, because you, I try to do TikToks. Brittany Mads like literally texts me 3 times a day. Have you done a TikTok? Have you done a TikTok? I do them and I just feel embarrassed. I feel old. I feel like I'm not getting it right. And you are so flawless. Like when I think about if I were to create TikTok content, I would want it to your standard. So let's talk about the fact that your videos are kind of highly produced. Like a lot goes into them. What's the creative process behind your videos?
The main thing with me is I like to add some type of value to the videos. So I try to keep it like, what's the takeaway that someone's going to want to watch the video? And
TikTok is a lot about the watch time. So you kind of gauge it as to, if I didn't know this person, they were the first to see in their For You page, would I sit and watch this video all the way through? What's the value they're getting? And sometimes it can be the relational value, the comedic value, or you're giving a fashion tip, you're giving a beauty tip. So I really try to keep that takeaway when I'm brainstorming. Mm-hmm. And some things I think are a good idea, but I'm like, you know, it might've been funny to me, but it's not funny in the situation if you don't know the backstory. So I kind of break it down that way for each of my videos.
And then, so I consider you to have like really started a lot of these TikTok fashion trends that we see today. Like the, I remember you were like one of the first person to do the thing where you like fall on the bed and then you like, so how, talk about transitions. Like, why is that so important to you in like telling a fashion story?
And do you edit them off the app or is this all in the app?
So I first started doing them in the app, but it's easier for me to do it outside of the app because I can just do, basically I do the motion full, two times through and you just cut it and add it together. Right. But in the app, it's actually really easy to do it like that too, now that they added the adjust clips feature. Right. Before, it would take me forever to do it without the adjust clips because you had to hit it right where it was. Now it's a lot easier with adjust clips, but if you're doing it to music, sometimes if you're like lip syncing, then it could be a little off if you adjust clips that way.
Right.
But it's just faster for me to do it outside of the app. So I still do it like that.
Yeah. And one of your pillar contents now is showing your family life. Like you have a daughter who I've watched grown up. How old is she? She's like 12.
She just turned 14.
14. Oh my
God. She's going to high school this year. I'm mind blown. It's really scary, actually.
Wait, quick question before we get into like you and your, I mean, having your family on your brand, but does your daughter's like friends know you and like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Like you on TikTok? Like,
does your daughter think you're like a weird, annoying mom, or does she like know you're on the fucking pulse?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't think I'm cool in that sense at all. She is more like, when I think of a video, I need to make sure that it's not going to be super embarrassing for her, that her friends, you know, you're at that age where you're 14, you're eighth grade, going into ninth grade. I remember being so embarrassed if my mom would pick me up from somewhere, and just having that awareness that you're getting a little bit older, you don't need your mom for everything. Yeah. So I really try to keep that in mind when I'm making my videos. I try to not be super, you know, I try to censor my language and make sure that if her friends are watching too, it's appropriate for their age too. And I, you know, has made comments like, mom, if you ever post that, it'd be so embarrassing. And obviously I'm not filming, but like I'll show her videos. I'm like, this is so funny. She's like, you can never do that. That's too embarrassing.
Oh my God.
So certain things I won't do, but she's at that age, you know, where it's like, I'm still her mom and
yeah,
it's so embarrassing.
Was there any thought process to that you went through when deciding to put her in your content and your husband? Like, or was it just like, this is my life and I'm going to share all of it? Or was there some sort of thought process that went behind it?
No. So actually when I first started, I was doing with just TikTok, I was doing very fashion. I kept it really, I would say professional in a way. Where it was, nobody knew anything besides that I had fashion tips on there. And I did a video for her birthday in, I think it was last January, where it was just talking about, it was to that trend where you post video or you post photos of everything that had happened in that short amount of time. And I had posted that I had her young and then this is my life. And it was her growing up.
Yeah.
So people had commented, we want to see a video of you and your daughter. So at that point I said, do you want to be in a video with me? And she's like, oh, sure. She was creating videos for her TikTok, but she's like, oh yeah, that would be great. She's like, make sure to tag me.
Followers, mom.
Yeah. So she was really excited. And we just put together this fashion one. We were both jumping and she had a lot of fun because her friends were reaching out to her. She's like, that was such a cute TikTok. You guys are on my For You page. And I think after that, she's like, let's make more, but she wanted to post them on mine. So that it's nice. I'm not going to ever force her and say, hey, we need to film today, because that's just not the vibe I want her to grow up in and feel like the camera's always on. Yes. So I'm always like, hey, do you want to do this? If not, I'm going to do one with dad, or I'll, you know, do a fashion one. So I always give her the option.
Yeah.
What do you think is the difference? Just because, you know, it's such a unique position that you and your daughter and you had her so young, you're both on content creation platforms. Like, Jaden is growing up in this age where I feel like, you know, where you and my age more, it kind of happened a little bit older. Like, you know, my Facebook came out like, you know, like end of high school.
Facebook, I was really obsessed with Facebook in 05.
Yeah, exactly. So like, what do you think the main difference is, even mindset wise, like not content wise, but relationship wise, between millennials and their kind of relationship with social media and then Gen Z's and their relationship with social media.
Yeah.
I would say Gen Z's very, for how much they get crap for, you know, doing certain things they do, they're very aware, they're super outspoken. And I think that's because of social media and all the news and information they have in front of them. But also, I think it's really important that parents of that Gen Z generation to make sure to be really aware of what their kids are on. So for me, if I wasn't even creating videos on TikTok, I would want to be seeing what's going on in Jaden's world because that's what she's watching. And that's what I wanted to make sure of. What is her culture that she understands? And what are people talking about? So for me, it's a parental issue for me to be on TikTok and see, obviously she has things that are, you know, I block certain things so she won't be able to see them on there. You can put the parental controls. But I think it's just really important to have those safety, those conversations about don't give out your address, don't respond to someone on a DM. You don't assume everyone who is online is who you think they are. And just having those like safety conversations has been really helpful. And also I think the parents don't think they need to talk to their kids about that because they're out of it. They're not aware of what's going on. And so taking yourself out of it, a parent, I think is a huge red flag. So
yeah, I mean, I remember when I was 13, it was before my bat mitzvah and it was AIM was the way we communicated.
Oh, yeah. My mom would not let me go on that and I'd have to hide it.
And we were on it for hours and my parents didn't necessarily talk to us so much about security because they didn't know that this was a thing. Would be on AIM every single day with this person whose username was Hillary Duff.
And oh, we thought it was
Hillary. It was probably a 50-year-old man.
I almost invited Hillary Duff to my bat mitzvah.
No.
Like, what's your birthday? And she answers, and I'm like, oh, you, like, my mind didn't think she could have just, or he could have just Googled it. I literally to Hillary Duff.
So many cases where kids will meet up with someone thinking that they're someone else and a friend, and then they get taken. And it's just, you don't think it would happen, but it's so easy to access kids that are vulnerable and very gullible. Yeah. So just having Jaden know, like, doesn't matter what the photo looks like, they can be someone else behind the screen. They can be a 60-year-old person and claiming to be a 13-year-old. So,
yeah. Wow. Fake Hillary Duff almost came to my bat mitzvah.
Yeah, imagine. They knew the location and everything.
That would have been to a different night for sure.
Wait, what do you
want to say? I was going to say, working with your husband. Now, we've like had multiple people on the podcast where they have businesses with their significant other. We just had Gold, the founder of Gold Trinity, on, and she started it with her husband. And it's just
her partner. They're not me.
Sorry, her partner. So talk to us about working with your significant other and how you guys keep that balance and make sure to know when to turn it on and off.
I think it was really difficult for us when we first started working together, because we always did the blog together from the start. So it wasn't something that I started and I brought him in into. It was something that we had brainstormed together. He knew how to create a website. We did it very collaborative in the very beginning. But I think the challenge was when we both, so I quit my job and I was home all day working on things. So he would get home and then I'm throwing all this stuff on him. Like, you need to do this because I need help. Like, quick, the sun's dropping. We need to shoot this. And then when he quit his job, we were both working together full time. So I think that is when the biggest challenge happened, because I'm a little bit of a micromanager. So I would send him emails and he's sitting right next to me. He's like, yeah, I know, I'm going to do it. I'm like, just following up. So we finally got to a place where we sat down and we said, what's your role? What's my role? That way we're not stepping on each other's toes. Everything is very clear expectations of what we are doing for each other. And that was hugely helpful. I'm more the creative side. He's more the business, finance. He works really closely with my manager to talk about all the back end, why I can brainstorm videos, do the mood board, go through all the long-term processes. So I think that's helped us a lot, because that is more my personality. I love the creative side, and it's hindering if I have to do all the admin too. So yeah, so finding the balance.
Yeah. What is the craziest thing that you think you've ever done for a TikTok or for a content? I'll tell you one of my favorites that you've done, because then we can talk about that. It was the one where you did like that fake call. I think it was to Louis Vuitton, and then you were like
Chanel,
$20,000. I was peeing. He's like, what? No.
When my friend, she's one of my best friends from high school, And she and I both used to work at Nordstrom together. So when she sent me the voice recording and it had background music, I was dying because I'm like, she literally is trying to be an elevator music where you call the customer and you have to follow up. So I was dying. So when I played it back, I was like, I'm going to ruin this because he's going to know right away if I start laughing. So yeah. I just had to keep like my face to the, it was really hard for me, but was clueless.
It was so fucking good. But then it got me thinking, because as a fashion influencer, like, you do love brands like Chanel and the luxury stuff. So, like, what's like your one purchase that you are so proud that you purchased, that you will treasure forever, that you will pass down to your daughter, like, all the things? What's something that's really sentimental to you?
I would have to say my Chanel boy bag is the first designer bag that I ever bought. And it was right after, because I always had a clothing fund when we were saving money and doing everything from the very beginning. And so it was finally the time where I was able to buy that without feeling like I was dipping into my whole clothes. Like, I was starting to make the income to where I felt like I was buying this and it wasn't putting me in debt. It wasn't making me stressed about just trying to keep up with someone. It was because I saved for it and I was ready to buy it. And that's something that has gone up in value since I bought it too. And it's something that Jaden really loves. It's super classic, but it just reminds me of that transition from starting as a hobby to like now making it your full-time income. So I think it just reminds me of that too.
Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode, a little wrap up, a little highlight reel, if you will, of our amazing virtual sleepover. And thank you to everyone who attended, participated, was super stoked and active within the whole entire event. Doing these types of things really help us connect with you all. And it was just so exciting to kind of put faces to names that we always see on Instagram and in our secret Facebook group. And we were bringing up girls left and right to do dance parties. It was just the best time ever.
It truly was. And you can keep connecting with us at our secret Facebook group, OK Sisters, on Instagram at OK Sis Podcast, and on TikTok at OK Sis Podcast, because we will be posting reels and TikToks of the video footage of the event, so you can kind of catch the vibe there. But we love you, sisters. We are the luckiest sisters in the world, and we will catch you next week.